Honorable Governor Chris Sununu is on the line. And, Governor, thanks for joining us. I hope you had a good Christmas.
You too, Josh. I'm just so thankful I'm talking to you and not Jack. No, I'm just kidding. We love Jack, too. We love Jack, too. How you been?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. And I'm glad to hear you. We always talked about doing a radio show together where we flipped the script and you actually did the interview. We're going to have to do that one of these days.
I would love it. Because let me tell you, for the press of New Hampshire, I got a lot of questions for you. Someday I would love to flip that script for you.
Let's do that. But there's important things to talk about here. First, I want to get your take on the CDC move to basically slice in half the isolation period necessary for asymptomatic folks with COVID and the Omicron variant. And obviously, we're dealing with the surge here in New Hampshire. But good move. What do you think?
It is a good move. I mean, we have to see exactly how they're going to do it. When we were on the call with President Biden, I guess Monday, I think it was Governor Baker who actually brought up this idea. A lot of us governors have been talking about specifically looking at the provisions around schools and kids and trying to, at a minimum, cut it back for teachers and kids because, the 10-day thing was just, seemed to be too much and it wasn't necessarily following the science of what we knew of the symptoms and how the virus moved. And Governor Baker had brought that up directly with the president. He and Dr. Fauci said that they would look into it. And like within a day, they were coming out with kind of these new revised guidance. So the best thing I took from that isn't just that they're listening to governors and our requests, but they're actually looking at science and they're saying, yeah, we have to provide some flexibility. We have to talk to folks that are on the ground and then look at the data that is in theory supporting where we need to go with it. So I think it's a positive move. I don't know exactly how it's going to pan out. CDC is just, they're just guidelines and recommendations
sure.
Anyways. They don't hold the letter of the law, but they do provide a framework for us.
They do, and that's it's repeated by the national media, so a lot of people think that is the rule and the guidelines within to operate. But some good news here in New Hampshire also, obviously we are dealing with that surge, and that's not to be completely unexpected. And it's also not a surprise, I would guess, that most of the people that are hospitalized were unvaccinated to begin with. But today announced that the workforce, I don't know if it's a shortage, but certainly it's strained in the nursing department, received a nice boost with the state licensing over 650 nurses in a 3-week period.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. So when we put forth the executive order in early December, part of it was to fast-track licensure. And in just the last 2 weeks, you've gotten over 650 new licenses have hit the floors of hospitals, which is really great. Some just through their normal course, some through kind of making sure we streamlined the background check process and all that. We didn't skip steps. We just streamlined it. We got rid of some of the duplicity in there. And the second piece of that, there's about 3,000 nurses that are here in New Hampshire on a temporary license that was going to expire in January. And we said, nope, we're pushing that all the way out till at least till June, and we can keep extending that as well. So we're having the flexibility on the floors of these hospitals is so critical. The pandemic teams that have come in here, us moving long-term care patients from an emergency room or a bed in a hospital to a long-term care facility, we're moving those about 10 times faster than we ever have, again, because we've streamlined some of these regulations, we've guaranteed some of the Medicaid payments. Things like that are what we're doing to create some breathing room for these nurses. But it's hard. I've been in these ICUs. These nurses and these doctors are all out. They are absolutely multiple floors of ICUs, that didn't exist before. It's really, really a tough situation. And anything we can do to support these folks, not just through money and all of that, there's lots of resources there, of course, but just through regulatory flexibility, at least not just today, but at least for the short-term future, I think it's going to be really critical in terms of how we manage. And I think you're seeing a lot of other states now, right? Like our numbers have they peaked? I hope so. I don't know. Maybe it's going to spike up a little bit after New Year's, but we haven't had a hospitalization number over 400 in over a week or something like that. So we seem to have kind of been able to manage and hold the line from the skyrocketing numbers. Unfortunately, you're seeing those all across the rest of the country now. Mid-Atlantic
sure.
states, Massachusetts now has COVID rates, 50% higher than New Hampshire. And so it's not because Massachusetts is doing anything wrong. It's because the seasonality of the virus is working its way down the eastern seaboard, skyrocketing numbers in Florida, skyrocketing numbers in other parts of the country. So We were the tip of the spear, but the rest of the country is unfortunately dealing with it, and you're going to see a lot more of those states implement the things that we've already done here in New Hampshire to give themselves those same flexibility.
And that, you know, that's what I love about New Hampshire, no question about it. The nurses and doctors, they're running on the front lines of this thing, as are all healthcare workers. But in a few minutes, we're going to hear from the president of New England College, Michelle Perkins. They're put together announcing a new nursing program to fast track some of this. So it's really getting in front of the problem and understanding, you know, what the workforce needs and where the issues lie. But are there other governors from other states saying, hey, I mean, despite the surge, New Hampshire, you know, it has managed this pandemic as well as it possibly could? Obviously, a lot of credit goes to a lot of different people, but it starts at the top. So a lot of people are looking at the governor's office and saying, you know, how did you do it? Are you getting some calls from other states?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. No, we're talking to a lot, mostly governors in the mid-Atlantic states. I was talking to Glenn Youngkin, the new incoming governor of Virginia, talking to him about what we've been doing. They're in a kind of a funky period because, you know, they're going through a massive transition of their teams as a new governor comes in right in the middle of this winter surge, just as their numbers are about to skyrocket. So I talked to Larry Hogan a little bit. Larry's been, you know, very progressive, I think, on some of the ideas in terms of flexing open hospitals. A lot of the governors, Doug Burgum up in North Dakota, they've been dealing with a lot. Ducey out in Arizona. There's parts of the mountains of Arizona and New Mexico where COVID is just, you know, going crazy. And the Omicron is here. And no one really, I mean, that's right now, and according to Fauci and the president that I was on the phone with on Monday, they've said, like, look, right now it appears that the symptoms of Omicron are less than Delta, which is great. It's a less impactful, but it is much more contagious. So more people are going to get it. So will it be a net positive, a net negative in terms of what we're dealing with Delta? That still remains to be seen when you have something that's more contagious but less symptomatic. For me, that's a big positive because the chances are you're going to have more people kept out of the hospital, and that's what this is all about, managing the healthcare system without mandates and shutting things down. I mean, that's the trick, if you will, of all of this. That's the balancing act. You don't want to start mandating and shutting things down because that has huge negative repercussions in terms of the economy, people's jobs, their overall health and well-being, shutting down schools. The chain reaction of that, you're already seeing it in other states where, well, they did a mask order here, and then they, you know, allowed schools to close there, and it never really ends for them. And I think the message that a lot of us have to carry is this might not end for a long time. So you got to play for the long game here and have sustainable solutions, just not short-term band-aids that make you feel good. You got to have long-term solutions while keeping things flexible.
I would imagine that the at-home testing kits that the state is sending out, even my wife, she ordered four of them, we have them. It must make it a little bit difficult to actually, you got to wonder about the data and the numbers that we see when we talk about this percentage.
Oh, without a doubt.
You know, because people will take it at home. Yeah.
Yeah. So the case data is going to become, if not already, massively inaccurate, right? Where cases are, where the outbreaks are, that's going to become really difficult because so many people are just going to find out in the quickness of their home, the comfort of their home, the ease of their home, but we don't necessarily collect that data at the governmental level. So that's why I've been preaching this for quite a long time. Hospitalization number, that's the key piece of data because that's black or white. There's no gray area there, right? If you're sick, you're going to the hospital, sick enough, you have to be hospitalized. You're going and you're going to be hospitalized. And so by watching that, it allows us to directly know what's happening with the healthcare system, have a good sense of what's happening with community spread. That's really the number. The case data, it was useful for a time period, but it's just going to become much more inaccurate as we go. Now, New Hampshire's led the way with at-home testing, right? Biden saw what we did. You know, we were the first state to do it statewide. We've now done a second round. I think there actually might even be some more tests available. So if folks want to go online and click the button, you can get for free, you know, tests delivered to your home, which is pretty cool. At least as of yesterday, there were some. Go onto our nh.gov COVID-19 website. But when they saw what had happened in New Hampshire and the success of it, they kind of did a 180. They didn't like home testing. Now they love home testing, and they're going to put out $500 million. Sometime in January, that program is going to start for the rest of the country. So we're clearly ahead of the game in that sense. But you've hit it right on the head. People have to be careful about just looking at case data. It's all about hospitalizations. And right now our numbers seem to have peaked or actually started to drop quite a bit, which is a good sign. And hopefully we can continue that trend. I don't know, over the holidays and New Year's, you tend to get these spikes of spread, you know, and that's to be expected, unfortunately. We want people to be safe, be smart, you know who you're going to be with, and just take the right precautions. But we're not, you know, I disagree with some of the folks in Washington that are like, well, maybe you shouldn't be celebrating New Year's. Maybe you shouldn't be celebrating Christmas. No, no, no. We're not going there. We want people to get together. I just believe that people can do it safely and smart. And again, you can put all the mask orders in place that you want, but in the, when you're in your home or you're having a New Year's party, the mask order becomes virtually meaningless. And that's why this mandated stuff, at this point in time, just, it isn't really where we want to go with any of this, because it's only going to be so effective. The most important thing is just getting, I think, people the information and the data. And when they see that, it's clear that our booster rates are going up, our vaccination rates are going up. Folks in New Hampshire are taking it seriously, and we're seeing the numbers to show it. Otherwise, we'd see our hospitalizations continue to skyrocket. We'd be in, like, some other states that have to, like, shut down their hospitals. We're not doing that here. We don't have to do that here because we've been able to manage.
No, and that's I think the at-home testing really gives people, you know, knowledge is power. And whether they want to go out for New Year's or whatever, I mean, if you have the at-home testing, you can, test your kids, test your wife, test yourself, and determine, you know, if there's any risk there. I do want to ask you about something else. I know that COVID dominates, the discussion, rightly so. But this is worth talking about, and it's worth asking you about rooms and meals tax were cut under the Republican budget that was passed. And now the cities and towns are going to be receiving cash despite the cuts in the rooms and meals tax. Congratulations, first of all. But how do you manage that within a budget framework where certainly there's resources in demand in a lot of different areas?
Sure. So, no, I got to tell you, it's one of the things we're most proud of. Senator Denise Riccardi up in Bedford really deserves a lot of the credit in that, you know, obviously my idea was to cut the taxes. And people said, well, if you have less taxes, how can you be putting more money out? Because the state, we found out, hadn't really been living up to their obligation under the room and meals tax formula for years in terms of what we return to cities and towns. And Senator Riccardi up in Bedford said we need to fix that. She did. She pushed it through, worked with Senator Chuck Morse. They did a great job. And so just a larger proportion of the dollars state takes in is coming back, and every city and town is getting their increases. I believe it's every city and town. It's kind of a reapportionment. Everyone's going up. And so what you should be seeing, that's how the state can't reduce your property taxes, right? That's a local thing. But what we can do is send cash back. And so whether it's the room and meals tax, the additional $100 million we sent back to cities and towns in terms of basically a stipend, again, all in the name of dropping your property taxes. Then you add in all the COVID money that's coming in from the federal government. Right. Look, if your property taxes are going up, you better go talk to your selectmen and your budget committee and your planners, town planners, because we've provided so much cash to cities and towns to offset your property taxes. Now, it's their job to manage that, right? It's their job to decide how those dollars are going to be spent and hopefully not waste them. But there's a lot of cash out there, and that's to provide that property tax relief that traditionally doesn't come from the state. And so it's working. We're very excited about it. It's everyone has their tax bills at the end of the year. Our message is very strong in that, you know, Republicans are doing, if I can be a little political here, I think Republicans are doing a phenomenal job of not just cutting taxes at the state level, but returning an unprecedented amount of money to cities and towns to offset your property tax, which tends to be the highest cost burden in the state. Now, the answer there is we also just find efficiencies in government. I'm not just here to pat myself on the back, but, you know, when you have good commissioners and good managers, you hold them to accountable standards of you know, not overspending their money, staying within their budgets, bidding things out competitively, finding efficiencies. All of these things come into management where we're just reducing costs. We're getting better service at a lower cost. In fact, if I can, New Hampshire is ranked number one in the country in terms of the value of service for the taxes we pay, right? We get a bigger bang for our buck in government than anywhere else in the country. We're ranked number one, and we take a lot of pride in that, but it's not by accident, right? We all work really, really hard at it. It's not just me. The commissioners, everybody works really hard to make your dollar go a little farther, and this return of property taxes is just another example of saying, look, it's not our money, it's yours. I mean, it's your money, and if we have the ability to return some, of course we're going to do it.
Yeah, and I love the advice from New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu joining us on this great Wednesday. You know, if you see your property taxes go up, ask some questions of your town administrators because the
That's
state is certainly providing some relief in terms of resources there. Governor, I appreciate the time that you've given us. Any other message that you want to give people? Obviously, New Year's right around the corner.
Yeah, New Year's. What are you going to do for New Year's? I mean, are you a resolution guy, Josh? Are you like, okay, I'm making my resolutions, time to lose 5 pounds and all that kind of stuff? Or is January 1st just another day?
No, I'm too impatient. I can't wait. If I come up with a resolution, I resolve to do it right then. And you know,
really?
Then I try. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But
oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, sure. I mean, I resolve to make it a good year and try to be a better dad and, you know, a better person and those sorts of things. But if you're not doing that every day, I feel like, you know, I don't know. But we'll come up with something, I'm sure. I'll resolve to ski more this year. How's that?
Yeah, I'm going to I'm the guy, I'll resolve, okay, on January 1st, I'm going to, you know, use the Peloton more, whatever it's going to be. And I'm like, well, that starts at the end of the week, right? So it might be January 4th. I delay the resolutions as long as I possibly can on the other side. But I love that when you make a resolution, you got to jump right on it. And why wait to the new year, right? But
and that's the thing is about it is you tell people that you made the resolution, and then they got to hold you to it. And that's really where it becomes effective.
So I said this to Valerie. I said, you know, if I resolve to lose some weight, I'm going to say it really publicly. And that way I will get publicly shamed if I don't lose the weight. And Valerie's like, that's a terrible idea. Do not do that to yourself. It's not going to work. It'll backfire on you. So, you know, public shaming, I guess, is one form to hold somebody to the resolution. But look, 2021 is coming to close. It was a much better year than 2020, without
yes,
a doubt.
Was.
2022 is going to be even better. I think it's, you know, the further away we get from 2020 is just better for everyone. COVID, we get more tools in the toolbox. More ability to not just manage COVID for ourselves, but, you know, from the state level as well, without, you know, shutting everything down. We get a little further away from the electoral nonsense of 2020 and all that political hyperbole. We'll have our own elections in 22, but I think as candidates come out more in 22, I think they'll start driving their message, and that's what will define Democrats and Republicans, as opposed to this hyper-partisanship you see on both sides. These extremists on both sides. So I think overall that will just naturally start calming things down a little bit. And we're in New Hampshire. I mean, we got a great economy. We've got a ton of opportunity. We're blessed. I mean, I tell everyone, you want to see how good we have it here, just go travel the rest of the country. Go down to Massachusetts, go down to New York, and you'll start appreciating New Hampshire quite a bit because we do have amazing opportunity here. And I'm looking out. We got snow on the ground. People should be up skiing. Ski resorts are doing great. There's just a ton of stuff here to really appreciate, and it's all that sense of gratitude as you hit the new year. You just want to embrace it, and as you said, you know, find that resolution, something you can achieve, and wrap your arms around it and go for it, and do anything you can to help your community, help your family.
Yeah, look out for your neighbor and take a page from your playbook and be optimistic. I always appreciate your optimism because it's genuine and it's not, you know, it's not just platitudes.
You got to keep smiling. There's a couple governors out there. I keep telling them, I say, guys, you got to smile more. Good mistake. And if you're not, because I tell people, and I really mean this from a leadership perspective, if you don't at least look like you're enjoying what you're doing, people don't believe you're giving 120%. They really don't. It looks like a burden, right? If your job, and it isn't a burden. I'm so grateful for the job I have. I love what I do. It's really hard. I'm not going to lie to you, but it's not a burden. It's incredibly fulfilling when you give it 120%. You surround yourself with good people. So I tell people all the time, there's tough times for everyone. There's something to complain about around every corner, but that's our job, is to find the thing to smile about, not ignore it, not ignore the tough stuff, but at least find the things to smile about and kind of project that, you know, that sense of well-being, that sense of that we're in it together, and this is, you know, you got
and things
somebody
could be
to
a
lean
lot
on.
Worse.
And,
right.
Yeah, things could be a lot worse, and there's always someone to lean on if you need a little help, and we're there for you.
And that's New Hampshire. All right, Governor Chris Sununu, thanks very much. Happy New Year to you. Best to you and your family.
Thanks, Josh. Happy New Year, everybody. Be safe.
Take care.